Welcome to the Razors Inc. podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. In our last two podcasts, Dr. Jonathan gave prescriptions for fixing prime time on network TV, serial dramas, and late night. Oh, but the doctor's not done yet. So under doctor's orders, pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, the two intersect in part three of Dr. Jonathan's prescription for network TV, the movie edition. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
I'm going to describe the plot lines of three movies and ask yourself if you'd watch. First, a young stockbroker inherits an old ship along with a medallion that is the key to a sunken Nazi treasure. But there are people also looking for the sunken treasure, people that will stop at nothing to get the medallion. Second, three young adventurers come into possession of a mysterious relic. Metallurgical tests show that the artifact is made of an unknown alloy, when a museum curator believes it is an interlocking piece to a larger item, the trio sets out in hopes of finding the other pieces. Meanwhile, others seek to buy the artifact or kill for it. Third, a retired businessman and sailor notice that there has been a rash of ships and planes disappearing off the Florida coast, and he starts to investigate. Many of you found these plots interesting. What you may not know, these were movies made for television. The first movie is titled The Log of the Black Pearl, which was a pilot film for a television series produced by Jack Webb. See my podcast about Jack Webb. And aired in 1975 on NBC.
What's that?
My grandfather gave it to me before he died.
Did he say what it was?
Tried to. He didn't have time. He said three things, though. The picture man, something about make him wear it, and one word, Mongo.
What the hell does all that mean?
Maybe it's in the log.
Let's see what Captain Sand was up to before he died.
Well, I know he was headed for Puerto Vallarta.
Right you are, lad. Entry January 23.
That was yesterday.
Set a course due south, destination 26 January, Puerto Vallarta. 1500 hours, pick up the picture man. Have the medallion. Set course for unknown destination.
This has something to do with that treasure.
Treasure?
According to the crew, they were headed out to search for some kind of treasure.
Waste of time and money.
Well, with this medallion and the log, maybe he was onto something.
I tell you right now, forget it. Every beach jockey and his brother will try and sell you a 10-cent map.
1 hour and 20 minutes long. The second movie is titled Search for the Gods, which aired on ABC in 1975.
I'm looking for Gennaro Montez.
What for?
Are you Gennaro?
Who are you?
Your grandfather sent me.
You a friend of his?
Well, I knew him.
Well, why did he send you?
I have something for you.
What?
May I come in?
Well, what is it you have for me?
Some news.
You said you had
no,
something.
No, wait a minute. Didn't the coroner's office tell you? Your grandfather died last night. If you want to make arrangements, I can tell you who to call.
What did my grandfather give you?
Well, he wanted you to have this. You're not Gennaro.
Arturo!
Let's have it.
Forget it!
All right, hand it over.
Look for a young Kurt Russell playing one of the leads. It ran 1 hour and 40 minutes long. The third film is titled Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, starring Fred McMurray, which aired on NBC and produced by Playboy Productions.
Now, what I got trouble with is this. If a boat that big hit something, there'd be wreckage or some kind of image on the screen, wouldn't there? I mean, it just wouldn't go out like a light bulb.
There's another one for the Bermuda Triangle.
Drop it, Linder.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Son, I don't mean to get you in any kind of trouble, but, Lieutenant, he watches radar all the time. I'd like to get his opinion.
He's referring to the Bermuda Triangle, Harry.
It's an area off the coast of Florida here where ships and planes are supposed to disappear.
I'm afraid that's a very overworked superstition, Mr. Ballinger.
Yeah, I've heard about that. What about that plane that disappeared just last evening?
A private plane, some mechanical failure, I'm sure.
Well, Lieutenant, if all this were just superstition, there'd be wreckage in the water. But there isn't. Now, either there's something to this Bermuda Triangle stuff when things do disappear, or my radar here is all fouled up. But you say it isn't, so...
Mr. Ballinger, there is no such thing as the Bermuda Triangle.
Is that the official Coast Guard position?
It is.
And it could be you're right. But what if you're not?
1975. 1 hour and 14 minutes long. Yeah, 1975 was a good year for television movies. I was 17 years old in 1975 and growing up outside Los Angeles. I lived a comfortable life, but never went anywhere. My parents didn't travel. As a teenager, these made-for-television action-adventure films took me to Mazatlan, Mexico, Taos, New Mexico, and the Bermuda Triangle off of Florida, and stoked my desire for travel and adventure. The best part? I didn't have to leave the comfort of our living room, nor buy a ticket. Television was beamed into the house from a rooftop antenna at no cost. The movie of the week format saw network television air original feature-length films and was popular in the 60s and 70s. Each of the three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, each had a movie of the week. Why did networks create their own movies, Jonathan? In the 1960s, movie studios viewed television as a threat to their theatrical revenue, so they charged high fees for the privilege to broadcast their films. The networks experimented with having films made specifically for TV to lower programming costs. Until the late 1960s, ABC ran a distant third behind rivals CBS and NBC, leading to jokes about its acronym meaning Almost Broadcasting Company. Running a distant third made ABC innovate, however.
The Movie of the Week. Presenting the world premiere of an original motion picture produced especially for ABC. On the Movie of the Week. A ghost town, a man, a chance for people to be what they've never been. Brian Keith.
You don't look anything like a teacher to me.
Juliet Prowse.
I just don't want anybody to call me an ex-con again, ever.
William Wyndham. Second Chance. ABC presents the Movie of the Week.
The ABC Movie of the Week produced 90-minute movies and ran from 1969 to 1975. One of its most notable movies was Spielberg's first feature film, Duel, starring Dennis Weaver, which aired in 1971.
Look, I want you to cut it out.
What?
Just cut it out, okay?
For what?
Now, come on, I mean... Please, I let's not play games.
What the hell are you talking about?
I can call the police.
Police?
You think that I won't? You're known, mister. You, if you think you can take that truck of yours and just use it as a murder weapon, just killing people on the highway, well... You're wrong. You've got another thing coming.
Man, you need help.
Don't you tell me I need help.
Hey! Come on!
A sampling of CBS movies of the week include Cannon, 1971, starring stout Michael Conrad playing a detective, which became a series. Titanic, 1996. This starred George C. Scott and appeared over two episodes preceding the James Cameron movie in 1997. TV struck first. Well done, Tiffany Network.
Why is it that so many people around Jessica Fletcher wind up dead?
Murdered? Oh, good heavens. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that Beverly was murdered.
It's a mystery.
Oh, dear.
Only she can solve.
The robbery was a cover for another motive.
Murder, She Wrote, starring Angela Lansbury. 2000. It became a series. The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman in 1974, to name a few.
Starring Rock Hudson and Susan St. James as Macmillan and White.
NBC had a knack for creating series from pilot movies, including Columbo, Macmillan and Wife, Quincy, Medical Examiner, and McCloud, all part of the NBC mystery movie. What happened to these movies made for television, Jonathan? Fortunately, you can find most on YouTube. See, my podcast is YouTube, the New Library of Alexandria. They were abandoned by the networks for two reasons. Made-for-TV movies were more expensive to produce than hour-long dramas or sitcoms. And unlike theatrical films, TV movies rarely had the value for rerun or syndication markets, limiting their potential for recouping production costs. I grew up watching television in the late 50s, 60s, and 70s. By the time the 80s rolled around, I was watching cable channels, which had eaten the network's lunch, that is, producing made-for-cable features. I simply didn't have an appetite for the sitcom genre, which replaced the made-for-television movies. What's the current state of television, Jonathan? Bad. A decline in viewership as more people opt for streaming services. Streaming services have become competitors, offering a wider variety of content. More and more people are cutting the cord and opting out of traditional cable subscriptions, which include network coverage. Television networks are owned by the same companies that own streaming services. For instance, CBS Paramount Plus, ABC Disney Plus, and NBC Peacock. And these companies are prioritizing their streaming platforms over their traditional networks, cannibalizing themselves, I believe. Declining ratings have led to tighter show budgets, with networks focusing on cheaper reality shows, sitcoms, and live sports. Dear networks, you invented the made-for-television movies. The FCC requires you to air your programming for free, and anybody with a simple plug-in antenna can watch your programming at no cost. Yet, people are paying to watch original programming on your streaming competitors.
Ally Peacock's Yellowstone, Julie Peacock's The Office, Harry Potter's with the Robinsons Peacock, who else is peacocking? Henry Peacock's Premier League, Sandra Peacock's Girls 5 Eva, Antonio Peacock's Downton Abbey, and Sue Peacock's
whenever she gets a chance.
This is not just another streaming service. This is unique stories, iconic stars, and a mountain of entertainment.
Trust.
This is everything you've been looking for.
This is as good as it gets.
This is a mountain of entertainment. This is Paramount Plus.
Watch full seasons. Stream on Hulu.
Yes, it's less costly to produce a sitcom. And if it's a hit, the ad buys are lucrative and the series may run for years. I contend the sitcom platform is stale and will lead to your demise. People are jumping your ship for paid services to get away from the schlock sitcoms you spew. Because I love you, network television, I suggest the following. Get back to making made-for-television movies. You invented the genre. You have the real estate to produce movies made for television, meaning production centers. The movie of the week was a talent magnet, attracting the best talent in front of and behind the camera, which graduated to films or moved on to paid services. Remember Duel? There's no lack of talent who'll be beating down your doors with original eyeball-catching content, which will create brand loyalty, just like you did on those dedicated time slots when people gathered around the set to watch a made-for-television movie. The brand loyalty, I contend, will obliterate the additional production costs associated with a 60 or 90-minute time slot. What do you have to lose, networks? Remember ABC running third and being the joke of the industry? Reinvent yourself again with the content you invented. Hell, the movie studios feared you and kept you at bay with exorbitant licensing fees for running their films, remember?
But we've already created our own streaming services to compete with paid services.
Well, you're stuck with the traditional network programming slots, which you can't fill with news, game shows, and more sitcom schlock. So why not be your own best competitor? Get me? Market share, by any other name, is still market share. The alternative is to stop existing, which would be a blow to creative talent seeking a break, and loss of a no-cost medium many, I contend, still depend upon. The golden age of television never disappeared. It just needs a dusting off, and the movie of the week is the fine dust cloth hiding under your very eyes during these tumultuous times. If you're still innovators and have the will to fight, follow my suggestion. Until I see you next time, please leave behind a soft footprint.
And that's the way it is.
And while the three networks would change the nights for their respective movies of the week, because it was only once a week, we would watch movies that we might never have watched otherwise. So they captured and then kept our attention for two straight hours, never distracted by any other device. Now get off my lawn. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. There you'll find everything from drama to romance, something for every reader, including his latest short story, which takes place in the city by the bay, Our Matchmaker Was an Autonomous Car, recently published by Literary Heist. That's jonathanfarini.com, Farini with two R's, one N. Or drop an email to razorsincpodcast@gmail.com.